Harper Perennial and Harper Audio present The Wind's 12 Quarters Stories by Ursula K. Le Guin. Performed by Amy Landon, Grover Gardner, and Will M. Watt. Forward. This collection is what painters call a retrospective. It gives a roughly chronological survey of my short stories during the first 10 years after I broke into print, belated but undaunted, at the age of 32. They appear here, very roughly, in the order in which they were written, so that the development of the artist may become part of the interest of the book. I have not been rigid about the chronology. It is impossible. Stories may be written in 1 year, not published until 2 or 3 years later, and then possibly revised. And which date do you use? But there are no severe displacements. It is by no means a complete collection of my stories. One early story is left out because I don't much like it. Fiction which doesn't fit under the headings fantasy or science fiction is not included. And most of my stories published in the last few years are not in this book, because the anthologies in which they first appeared are still in print. The last two in the volume, however, appeared in 1973 and 1974. So the 17 stories do cover the last 10 or a dozen years. The relation between short story and novel, inside the writer's head, is interesting. Semele's Necklace, though a complete story in itself, was the germ of a novel. I had done with Semele when I finished it. But there was a minor character, a mere bystander, who did not sink back obediently into obscurity when the story was done, but who kept nagging me. "Write my story," he said. "I'm Rokanan. I want to explore my world." So I obeyed him. You really can't argue with these people. Winter's King was another such germinal story, and so were The Word of Unbinding and The Rule of Names. Though all of them gave me the place, rather than the person, for the novels to come. The last story in the book is not a germinal, but an autumnal one. It came after the novel. A final gift received with thanksgiving. Most of the straight narrative stories in this volume are in fact connected with my novels, in that they fit, more or less, well into the rather erratic future history scheme, which all my science fiction books follow. Those that don't fit in are the early fantasies, and then, later, the ones I call psychomyths, more or less surrealistic tales, which share with fantasy the quality of taking place outside any history, outside of time, in that region of the living mind which, without invoking any consideration of immortality, seems to be without spatial or temporal limits at all. Collectors might want to know that the titles used in this volume are my own choice, in some cases varying from previous publications. Semele's Necklace first appeared as Dowry of the Angiar, a grammatical error by the editor, who didn't speak Angio fluently. Things appeared as The End. The Field of Vision appeared as Field of Vision. The only stories that have been revised, beyond an occasional one-word or one-sentence change and restitution of cuts and errors in the published versions, are Winter's King, see note to the story, Vaster Than Empires and More Slow, a cut in the first pages, Nine Lives, see note to the story. Semele's Necklace. This story, written in 1963, published as Dowry of the Angiar in 1964, and as the prologue of my first novel, Rokanan's World, in 1966, was actually the 8th story I got printed. But it opens the book because I think it's the most characteristic of my early science fiction and fantasy works, the most romantic of them all. The progress of my style has been away from open romanticism, slowly and steadily, from this story to the last one in the volume, written in 1972. It has been a progress.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?